guys can have a seat. And if you have your Bibles with you, I want to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, I'm going to look at verses 28 to 32. A very familiar passage today. Romans chapter 8, 28 to 32. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28, please hear this public reading of God's word. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So a very familiar passage that we come to today. I know I've looked at this in our time of confession before, and Jerry's looked at it, but I hope that we'll continue to come back to this, Lord willing, many times in the future. It's a great passage. Since Jerry's not here, I'll just tell this quick story. Probably the first time I heard Jerry Ettinger preach was probably about 13 years ago. I was a relatively new Christian at the time, and he was a guest speaker at Faith Presbyterian Church. One of the things he said during that message that I have never forgotten was this. He said, I would recommend that you guys read Romans 8 every day for a week. He said, no, you should read it every day for a month. And what I understood from Jerry in that was I needed to spend time getting to know this chapter in the Bible. I needed to spend a lot of time getting to know Romans 8, sinking down the roots of my life, down into the precious promises in Romans chapter 8. So let's look at 28 again. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. John Piper has said, if we live inside of this massive promise, our life would be more solid and stable than Mount Everest, if we lived inside of this massive promise. So as we come to our time of confession today, here's some questions that we could think through. Number one, have we been living inside of this massive promise this week? Have we trusted in our sovereign and loving Heavenly Father? Part two of that would be these questions. Have we been irritated, frustrated? Have we complained or have we been exasperated at any point during this week? At my office the last couple of weeks, our air conditioner hasn't worked properly. They've just, I think, fixed it on Friday, but the amount of complaining that you will hear in that office when people are slightly uncomfortable, complaining just comes out of everybody in that office, starts complaining, complaining, complaining. So have we complained with an air conditioner out? Have we complained with an unexpected bill has come in the mail? Have we started to complain and get irritated? What about traffic yesterday? Did we get stuck in traffic and start to get irritated in that traffic jam? If so, we have not been living inside of this massive promise. Why? Because our sovereign, loving Heavenly Father has brought us into that situation that has been the point of our exasperation. So when we are complaining, that spells spiritual danger for sure. So how do we grow in this area? How do we get better at trusting God? Well, I think one of the ways is we go to verse 32, another massive promise, Romans 8, 32, and we rest here for a while. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We need to go to the cross. We need to return to the cross over and over and over again and rest in this massive promise. God has given us his own son, the most costly gift he could ever give to us. He's given to us. One commentator said, the cross is the guarantee of the continuing, unfailing generosity of God. It is indeed. Another way that we can help us trust God more fully, for me at least, has been to look at people in church history who have suffered well. One of those people for me is George Mueller. I have mentioned him many times before. I mentioned him last Sunday, actually. But George Mueller is someone who has trusted God through suffering. I was looking back at his autobiography just this week. Well, George Mueller was the founder of orphanages. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in his life. He was a pastor of the same church for 66 years. An amazing man of God. He read his Bible cover to cover probably around 200 times in his life. Just a man of the word. He said this in his journal, many times when I could have gone insane from worry, I was in peace because my soul believed the truth of that promise. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. George Mueller was married to his wife, Mary, for 39 years. They had a wonderful marriage. Let me read you a paragraph about their marriage. I love this paragraph from George Mueller. He says this, were we happy? Verily we were. With every year, our happiness increased more and more. I never saw my beloved wife at any time when I met her unexpectedly anywhere in Bristol without being delighted so to do. I never met her even in the orphan houses without my heart being delighted so to do. Day by day, as we met in our dressing room at the orphan houses to wash her hands before dinner and tea, I was delighted to meet her, and she was equally pleased to see me. Thousands of times I told her, "My darling, I never saw you at any time since you became my wife without my being delighted to see you." What a wonderful picture of their marriage. And after 39 years of marriage, his wife becomes very sick. It doesn't look like she's going to recover from this sickness. And George Mueller gets the news about how serious this was. He says this, "When I heard how serious it was, my heart was nigh to be broken on account of the depth of my affection." And then right here, he takes God's word right here, and he preaches it to himself. He was so saturated with God's word, he said, "I said to myself, the Lord is good and does good," which is that Psalm 119, 68. He preaches that to himself. "The Lord is good and does good. If God pleases to take my dearest wife, it will be good like himself. What I have to do as his child is to be satisfied with what my father does, that I may glorify him." He keeps going. "Therefore, if it is really good for me, my darling wife will be raised up again, sick as she is. God will restore her again. But if she is not restored again, then it would not be a good thing for me. And so my heart was at rest. I was satisfied with God, and all this springs, as I have often said before, from taking God at his word, believing what he says." If we could just do that more and more, take God at his word, believe what he says, we'd be satisfied with God. Then Sunday afternoon, February 6, 1870, his wife of 39 years dies. And this is what he said after she died. He said, "I fell on my knees and thanked God for her release and for having taken her to himself, and asked the Lord to help and support us." He went to a prayer service that night at his church, and he asked his congregation to pray for him. And this is one of the things he asked for prayer for. He said, "I ask also to pray that my bereaved heart may be occupied with her blessedness instead of my unspeakable loss." Then he would preach her funeral sermon. From his text was Psalm 119, 68, "You are good and do good." He had three simple points, yet they were powerful points. Point number one, the Lord was good and did good in giving her to me. Point two, the Lord was good and did good in so long leaving her to me. Point three, the Lord was good and did good in taking her from me. Here's a man who lived inside of this massive promise, Romans 8:28. Have we lived inside of this promise this week? I will give you a few moments to pray silently, but let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we would agree with the psalmist who said that you are good and you do good. And Father, we would go so far to say is that you have been nothing but good to us. During life's pleasures and during life's pains, you have been nothing but good to us. And Father, we have not deserved 1 ounce of your goodness. And yet, Father, we are so prone to complain at the smallest things, Father. We are prone to complain and to get irritated and to get exasperated about the air being out or an unexpected bill. So, Father, forgive us when we are exasperated and when we complain, Father. But Father, we are so thankful for the cross. We're so thankful that you did not spare your own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. How will you not along with him graciously give us all things? Father, help us to live inside of that promise of 8:28 and of 8:32. Father, we're so thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to race to the cross. Help us to live in light of the cross. And help us to be more like George Mueller. Take you at your word and believe what you said. And Father, even as we sing this next song, I pray that you would use it to continue to draw us closer to you and to use it to stir our affections for you. We pray this in Jesus' name.